It's only entertainment.
Welcome back to The Talking Hedge. I'm Josh Kincaid, capital markets analyst and host of your cannabis business podcast. With me is Andre Cochem. He's with COBA. We're going to talk about the Brazil and Paraguay and a whole bunch of other stuff. But Andre, thanks for being with us here at The Talking Hedge.
Oh, thank you, Josh. To really start, I think we got to understand that Latin America, you know, Paraguay and Brazil, I'm going to be talking, you know, primarily about those two markets because these are the ones that I'm really involved. We've seen a huge growth in this market in the last years. I could say it really began like in 2017 or something like that, when people were really starting to see how cultivating hemp could be even more profitable for the whole country in general. Well, right now, what we can say about Paraguay, right now, if you have legislation to work with hemp, you are able to do any product you want, but you know the THC level has got to be up to 0.3%, and you can't go over that. That's just how the law goes. If you have a medical cannabis authorization, you can do whatever you know, do any products with any THC level registration. But right now, we don't see really things like that going. Like we don't have any medical cannabis authorization at this point. We do believe that in 2024 we are going to have a full country legalization of cannabis, but we're working on it right now. I can say that with COBA, we are we are partners of CCIP, which is the Paraguayan Chamber of Hemp, and LIHA would be the Latin America Association of Hemp. So right now we are in important places to be, to have important connections with the whole Latin America market, but Paraguay is really going up in front with the cultivation. Right now we have 2,500 hectares of production. We have two indigenous colonies that are working directly on it, and 700 families of small producers that are working in this market right now. So the wheels are spinning, let's say. That's something we can say. And I think that's it from the program.
Let's take a step back and in terms of your involvement, everything on behalf of COBA, what is COBA? What are you guys doing?
Okay. Oh, yeah, kind of a bit of resume. COBA is the first Paraguayan brand to be exported to Brazil. So the Paraguayan CBD brand to be exported in Brazil. So right now, just to make a connection with Brazil and how things are going in there. So right now, if you're a consumer, if you want to use medical cannabis by any means, you got to go through medical prescription, and then you got to have a solicitation. You got to have an authorization from our health surveillance, which is called Anvisa. So entering this decree, you as a Brazilian consumer has to import CBD or cannabis products from other countries. Right now, you cannot really buy cannabis from your country, like from Brazil. You can't have stock there. So that's what we call the decree is 335. That's what Anvisa calls it. Now what that implies is that Brazilian consumers that really need medical cannabis by any means, they go through a line of 1 month, maybe 2 months of waiting to have this product that they so need. You know, there are people that have Alzheimer's and all kinds of really specific injuries, or it's not injuries, the right word. I'm sorry. It's health problems, I would say.
Ailments.
Ailments, yes. So those people that are, they really need this kind of product right now, it's not the best position to be. So what COBA is implying is that being in Paraguay, and we have, you know, we have the whole technology up in front, we have the cultivation, we have the facility where we do extractions, we have the whole fabrication there. and having this line, this path for Brazil, which we are now located in Foz do Iguaçu, which is Brazil, Paraná, which is the state. And we're right at the bridge from Paraguay, which would be Ciudad del Este. So we have this really important logistic decision to be right at Paraguay and Brazil so we can make those deliveries faster and in a cheaper way. So that's the main attraction, let's say, for Koba. And my position right now, I'm the co-founder and CMO of Koba. So I deal with, you know, all administrative side of it and you know, marketing of all, the communication and all that.
Why did you choose to go into Brazil first? So you're cultivating in Paraguay and then you're exporting into Brazil. Was there other than the location, was there another strategic decision on why not find somebody who's already in Brazil and either grow from there or source from there locally? Because I know there's hundreds of thousands of hectares of hemp that's being grown in Brazil, probably one of the largest that I know of, outside of maybe China. What was the strategy behind that decision?
Well, to start up, you got to understand that Brazil and visa, you know, the whole health surveillance part is you got to be inside of right committee to be able to have these kinds of authorizations. Right now, as COBA, being the partners that we have with CCIP and LIHA, we are able to have this authorization much faster and quicker in Paraguay. We were the first to actually have the authorization to be cultivated in Paraguay in a larger scale in hemp. So we had this decision because we could really make that work. I believe if you want to start cultivating in Brazil, you will have at least a 2 to 4 years gap to have the authorization to do that. And that's, you know, we can't wait something like that if there are people that really need it. You know, the whole point of what we made was really to help people to get somewhere. I have everyone that's working in COBA right now has a particular reason to understand CBD and understand cannabis. We've all been through a particular moment in our lives where a close person to ours had a connection with CBD or cannabis. And that's why we wanted this to go fast, to really move forward in a sense. So that's why we choose Paraguay, because we could start right off the bat.
Yeah, that's interesting. There's a guy I know who left the United States to go to Canada for the same reason. It was faster to go up there and start working in hemp. And so he made a strategic partnership. So Mike West of Embark ended up partnering with Bubble Man up in Vancouver, BC. They formed this business called Hanks and Embark, and then they sold out. I don't even know how they probably sold out for $100 million or more, you know. And had he stayed in the US, or had you gone to Brazil and just tried to go through that slow slog, you wouldn't have that first mover advantage that you have now, whether it's the capital or the knowledge and just the business aspect of it. You're starting with production and distribution and branding and trust and all of those things that come with first mover advantages. When you're talking about Paraguay, you mentioned there's a couple indigenous groups. What did you mean by that? Because where I'm here locally, there's Native Americans and there's completely different laws and rules and regulations. Like, they can use tobacco if they wanted for traditional blunts. They don't. They could. And so there's fascinating rules surrounding the Native American tribes and tribal cannabis. Do you have something like that? Is that what you meant by indigenous in Paraguay?
No. That's a great point. So because of CCIP, we now have the project we call Hemp Guarani. So Guarani is one of the indigenous tribes from Paraguay. And in this program and this project, we have 1,500 indigenous families that are really on the work with it. Which means is that we have this we could call it a contract where we give them seeds, and they are able to, you know, cultivate this because there are families that already worked with agriculture their whole lives. You know, their whole colony has been working with that. So we give them this opportunity to start working with this new market and professionalize it and really have a bigger profit with their colony, with their agriculture. So there's no such thing as any specific rules for natives to be doing things like cannabis wise here in Paraguay. The main thing is that I believe as much as United States, the indigenous people, they are really a small tribe. They are not really given the attention that people believe that they have to really have been heard. And that's something that we really, you know, go forward with it. Coba has this native connection with the earth, and that's something that we're really connected with our brand. So we just wanted to hug that idea.
Mm. Can you tell me about the impacts that you might have kind of working through places like Paraguay and Brazil, and just already what I know of the terroir in Brazil and Colombia and Peru and Chile and some of these other places that grow phenomenal crops, whether it's coffee or hemp, and the inexpensive labor that goes around that, it seems incredibly disruptive, where you can come into a market and have inexpensive and high quality products that completely dismantle the status quo. What is the overall impact that Brazil and Paraguay might have on the global market as it pertains to hemp and CBD and other cannabinoids?
Perfect. So Paraguay right now, it's the decision of the government in Paraguay of starting to really develop the hemp industry was so big that I believe it's one of the upcoming countries to be carbon neutral. Like that amount of just investment on the idea of hemp and, you know, making fabric or really just foods or CBD, Paraguay has already shown an impact in Latin America in some ways. Now Brazil, otherwise, we still are really, you know, focused on how, I mean, I couldn't say we, I could say like the health surveillance, the whole government is really scared of getting free of the idea of cannabis being delivered in a whole. Of course, we do understand the difference between hemp and the cannabis as a whole plant, but that's not how the government really sees it. And no matter how much studies we show them, we've had a big like parliament discussion. There were a lot of leaders involved, and it was like watch free. You could there was a live stream, and there were people saying that they just did not believe that the country, the people wanted cannabis to be free in the hands of everyone, and that's not what the debate was even formed for. So there's a lot of miscommunication, a lot of misinformation on this topic, and that's why I believe Brazil is not really coming up ahead with it. You said that there is one huge crop, one huge farm on cannabis in Brazil or hemp. So these are specific institutions or associations that have a really good connection with the government, and they just go, you know, paper to paper to really demonstrate how are things going. And this is a really, really long process right now. So this is not really something that anyone with a lot of money and a lot of knowledge on the market can just come in and do. So I truly believe that Brazil is going to be a little bit far away for a couple of years. But I truly think too that when Paraguay goes front ahead, and I truly believe that 2024 is going to be the year of it, Brazil is going to make some changes, because it's our neighbor. Paraguay is just right here at side, and they are making a lot of profit on it right now. And I don't think Brazil is going to want to stay away from that.
That's funny. It's the way everything always works. So right now, Arizona is going to go legal. Texas is not. So the eastern part of Arizona is going to see a lot of sales. And there's reports that talk about border states and how all of these teeny little towns are generating so much revenue. And that's creating this FOMO. So Brazil will have this fear of missing out of revenues, and they'll convert their laws in the same way, just kind of following that money. So the, like you mentioned, the importance of knowing somebody. When I flew out to Toronto in early 2018 or late 2017, it was a publicly traded company that had 144,000 hectares in Brazil, which is huge. I think that's 360,000 acres or something stupid. So it's a lot. It's a lot. And he was growing nothing but hemp. And that was back when kilos of CBD were going for $2,500 US or more. So I went out there to try to secure a deal. They were incredibly unorganized. It was kind of a waste of time, but I've always been curious about what happened with them. I've never really heard about their name, so I don't think that they're targeting the US, but it'll be interesting to see what role Brazil plays. If you don't think that they're going to have this first mover advantages, where in Latin America do you see the leaders? Like, where are the places to watch? Paraguay is not one that I think of. I think of Chile, or maybe even more like Colombia. What are some other leaders to look for?
Colombia is a big one for sure. That's a no-brainer. But I would tell you that Paraguay is really coming up. I'm not saying this because I'm on the market. I'm saying this because of really how being on two countries makes you really understand how the government wants to take action in certain things. So I can see Brazil in a way of, they're just cool with the way things are. They're just cool with having to fill up a lot of information, a lot of documents on, you want to prescribe CBD, you want to do this, you got to go through a whole process. And the country's not, they just don't want to give up on that. Not right now, at least. Now Paraguay, on the other hand, they are, weeks and weeks just trying to end this barrier between how easy it is for you, not only as a consumer, but as a producer, to really go on and develop something in Paraguay. So they're really, open arms to new investors, to new people to come in there. And that's why I truly believe that Paraguay is a upcoming country on the CBD and cannabis market as a whole. But, answering your question, I do believe that Colombia is the first one for sure. I would say Chile too. Although I don't have a lot of information about it, but I would say Colombia, Chile, and Paraguay for sure.
When it does become regulated or completely legalized, will that roll out? Do you think, will they look at Canada and do like a slow rollout where you only have flower and then maybe after the next year you get concentrates? Or do you think they'll just kick the can down the road to the different states or provinces like the US has done and make everybody come up with their own regulations? How do you think that rollout will go in Paraguay and or Brazil?
Well, right now in Paraguay, the main industry, I could say, the main company would say it's called Healthy Grains. So Healthy Grains, owned by Marcelo Dame, which is a huge investor here in Paraguay. So I believe their first crop was sent to Australia, I believe, like in the last 3 months. So sending flowers, sending the whole hemp plant as in general, they do not, it's not a plan to really engage in, create a different kind of law and or a different kind of tax material to other countries. I do believe that things are going to be quite neutral in that idea. There are some information that I said I couldn't really give in that point, but I would say, as you said, there are some countries that they really try to create different engagements on how are this distribution going to work. I think Paraguay is going to maintain a really straightforward idea on how to export their products or their whole plan in general. The CBD extract in specific, it's not really happening right now in a larger scale, but the fibers of the plant, the flowers, they are really coming off. So Canada is one of market that they are looking for. I know Australia, Europe as a whole continent is a big yes for them. German, of course, Switzerland. So I don't think there's going to be a huge difficulty to be doing business with other countries. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, will Paraguay allow for home grow for people to grow at home?
To 2024, this is one possibility. Yes. Right now it's not really on debate.
But maybe eventually. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it looks like some things are coming up for Paraguay and Brazil. We're going to have to come back to the Talking Hedge and find out some more. But in the meantime, where can they find you at? If they want some more information, are you on social media, website? Where can people get some more information or contact you?
Okay, so I'm on Instagram at putscoachim. I can send you the tag for you to put it on. On email, I have andre.cochem at decobuck.com. So you can, reach me there. We can have a conversation. I'm up to having all cannabis-related conversation with anyone. So, yeah, I think that's it.
All right. Well, I think with that, we're going to have to roll this one up. So I want to thank my guest, Andre Cochem. He is the founder of the Coba. Andre, appreciate you being on the Talking Hedge.
Thanks, Ben.
Appreciate it. I'm Josh Kincaid. This is the Talking Hedge. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe, or don't, and I'm out. Don't forget to smash that like button on your way out and check out these other videos that we've got.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Cannabis Health Radio is a podcast about stories from people around the world who have used cannabis to deal with serious ailments, many of them life-threatening. My name is Ian Jessup. My co-host Corey Yelland is no stranger to the devastating emotional impact faced by so many people receiving a death sentence diagnosis from a doctor. Told she only had months to live with anal canal cancer, Corey researched and immediately began using cannabis oil to eliminate her cancer and has been cancer-free for more than a decade. She told herself that if it worked, she would spend the rest of her life helping others, which she does tirelessly every day. When you listen to our podcast, you'll hear many stories like Corey's, along with others who have used cannabis oil for many more ailments besides cancer, such as chronic pain, PTSD, MS, and many, many more. As one of our guests said, "Your podcast gave me the confidence to save my own life." We regularly get messages from listeners who have heard our podcast and use cannabis to solve a serious health issue of their own or that of a loved one. We hope you listen to these stories and be as inspired and moved as we are with each and every episode.